reading from Exodus chapter 17, verse 12 and 13a. When Moses' arms grew tired, Aaron and Hur brought a stone for him to sit on while they stood beside him and held up his arms, holding them steady until the sun went down. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, June 20th, 2023. It's Testimony Tuesday, and you're in for a real treat. In fact, most of you know when I do an introduction, it takes about 6 or 10 minutes because I want to cover all the things about the special guests that we have in the studio today. Today, I'm going to step back because this pastor has a message for all of us, a way that we can connect with God and find ourselves finding healing and hope and encouragement. He's already prayed that he wants somebody to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. He wants you to be healed from maybe drug addiction or pornography. He wants marriages to be restored. He's really praying that God will use his words and what he has to share today. He was recently at a BMIC men's breakfast, and I wanted him to replicate that message for everyone, but there's so much to his story and testimony, and so I'm going to have my good friend Doug Reihard maybe do a little introduction. And why did you bring him back from Arizona into our area, Doug?
Because he's a God-loving servant, and he was willing to come.
Mm-hmm.
Donald's been a longtime friend and businessman in Christ, celebrated 20 years of service here in the local community, and Don headed off our third decade by being our keynote speaker at our meeting there at the Pizza Ranch. Second Saturday, every month.
And wasn't he the former president of the Springfield Ministerial Alliance?
Yes, Donald has so much experience and talent and blessings and heart for helping people, and past president of the Ministerial Alliance of Springfield and vicinity. And he came all the way here from Phoenix to be able to be with us and share a wonderful message.
So, Pastor Mays, what would you like our listeners to know about you, and give us some of your background, testimony, and life story?
Well, you know, Mark, just like the passage of Scripture you led us off with, when Aaron and Ur held up the arms of Moses, someone held up my arms. Mm-hmm. And it started way back when I was a 16-year-old, when I was foolish, drug addict, in and out of jail. I had four women who held me up, my great-grandmother, my mother, my aunt, and my sister. And how did they hold me up? They held me up in prayer. A lot of times they were fussing, of course, but I knew they were praying for me, because whenever I did my dirt, did some things I should not have done, I got convicted at that time. Although I didn't know the Lord, but I was uncomfortable. And I knew that they were praying for me. So I understand the benefits of someone holding you up, whether it's in prayer, encouraging you. And that's what I want to do today. I want to encourage your listeners. I want to hold them up with some words of encouragement and sharing my story. Like I said, it started out when I was 16 years old. I ended up juvenile correctional center because I was a thief. I stole some things that didn't belong to me. After that, from 16 to 18, I graduated to the penitentiary. I went to the big house. I went to prison for doing some things I should not have done, stealing, taking things that didn't belong to me. Then, of course, I was not rehabilitated. I was taught how to be a criminal in prison. Mm. Then from the age of 18 to the age of 27, one thing led after another. Drug addict, alcoholic, thief, whoremonger, just sin after sin. And I was tired, man. I was tired. I wasn't raised like that. My family wasn't a criminal family, but I got caught up. No excuses, I got caught up. Then at the age of 27, I heard about a ministry called Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge is for men and women who have life-controlling problems and want to be set free. It's all biblically based. And I haven't looked back. 36 years later, after going through Teen Challenge for 13 months, I went there, like I told Doug earlier, I went there to stop using drugs. You know, I didn't go there to be a religious nut. You know, I just want to stop getting high and stop going to jail and learn how to keep a job. They introduced me to Jesus Christ, and I gave my heart to the Lord at Teen Challenge, and I haven't looked back.
Now, talk about what it means to give your heart to Jesus. What does it mean to become a follower of Christ?
It's simply making a decision to allow someone else to direct your life. Before, my life was directed by living in the inner city, by living in the hood. My life was directed by drug addicts, drug dealers, pimps, people who committed crimes. That's who I was following. But when I was introduced to Jesus Christ, then I said, wait a minute, let me make a decision to allow Jesus to direct my life. And how did I do that? By reading the Word and listening to men and women who love Jesus and following what they say do. And I made a decision. I said, I'm going to make a decision to do something different. And that's to follow what Jesus says in the Bible.
Yeah, you talked about reading the Word. And for our listener, maybe unfamiliar, that's God's Word, the Holy Scriptures. Some would call it God's love letter to us as penned by His inspired authors. It's something that we can trust, we can read, we can learn about God through the Bible. So you began reading it. Was somebody mentoring you? Who, beside these four women you mentioned, were involved in your growth in that sanctification process?
Well, you read about Aaron and Ur. My first man in my life was Steve James. He was my counselor at Teen Challenge in Chicago. Steve James, now keep in mind I'm from the hood, and I was taught that all white people are bad. That's what I was taught from the inner city hood. Steve James, about 6'5", big old white brother, he loved on me. That brother loved, I'm getting emotional. That brother loved on me. I had a lot of rough edges. I didn't trust him, but he was patient with me. And Steve James was the first man. He was the first Aaron and Ur. He was the first Moses that God used to help me to get all those rough edges out of my life, to help me to see things the right way, to see life the right way. And they are good people, no matter their background out here in society. So that's the first male person, because I grew up without a father. I'm oldest of 8 children, 5 different daddies, no father in the home. So the first male was Steve James. He was a big white brother, and he blessed me real good.
You talked about recently at that BMIC meeting the importance of where we need each other. We need to recognize that God has raised up different people from different life experiences to help us on our faith journey, to hold our hands up. This illustration out of Exodus that I read to begin the program, the importance of allowing brothers to hold our hands up and being those brothers that hold each other up. So talk a little about your passion for men's ministry.
Well, you mentioned a word that's so very important. You said allow. Allow other men to help you. Allow other men to disciple you. Allow other men, because God will provide men and women. But for me, He provided a lot of men because I had no father in the home. I didn't know how to be a husband. I didn't know how to be a father. And God used men to teach me how to be those things. And the reason why I'm so passionate about men's ministry, because a lot of times we men, we suffer in silence. We don't share when we're going through life challenges. Even after giving my heart to the Lord, my high school sweetheart that I married at the age of 19, we were married 23 years. She went off into a cardiac arrest. She died in my arms at the age of 42. That was devastating. My second wife, we fought breast cancer for 4 years. She went off into eternity. That was devastating. And my third wife decided she wanted a boyfriend. Devastating. So I needed some godly men to help me through those losses, to help me through those challenges of life. I could have easily gone back out into the world. I had a lot of money. I could have gone back doing things that wasn't good for me. But I made a decision to lean on men who loved the Lord, who taught me how to get through those emotional challenges in my life.
And moved to Springfield, Illinois, and became part of our community.
Yeah, you were saying you attributed some of your growth, that healing, because of the love of the brothers here and the BMIC and some of the ministries that poured into you and didn't judge you, didn't say, oh, well, you're divorced, you can't do this or you can't do that. They believed in you. And that's the passion that you have, that we need to be very cognizant of the fact, those that are in sin, that we don't just point out the sin and condemn them. We'd love on them. And talk a little about that process of how we can bring healing and hope to people that are far from the Lord.
Brother Mark, you hit the hammer on the nail. BMIC, as well as other people in the body of Christ that love the Lord, they didn't judge me. They didn't point out my sin, because I had part responsibility of that divorce. It's not one-sided. I did some things that I should not have done as well. But they just encouraged me. They loved on me. They contacted me, you know. They invited me to certain events, and they really didn't know me at that point. All they knew is that I was a man that needed some help because I kept coming to the meeting. I kept hanging around the leadership. You know, I stayed involved, and they didn't ask me questions. They didn't ask me my background. All they did was share the love of God. And I believe that's what we should be doing today. There are many listeners right now that may feel rejected, feel hurt, being condemned. People keep bringing up your sin. Some of them have said, you should know better than this. No, no, no. God loves you the way you are. And I believe right now, right here, this moment, he's telling you that it's not over. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned a long time ago, Brother Mark, that God is really not a second chance God. He's another chance God, and another chance mm-hmm. God, and another chance God, and another chance God. How do I know? I experienced that. Because I messed up a whole lot, but he kept giving me another chance, and he used men to help me work through that another chance he was giving me.
Now, is this your website, familyisfamily@yahoo.com? Is that how somebody could get in touch with you? Maybe they want you to come from Arizona and speak to their group, or maybe you have ministry resources, or there's things that you would like to discuss with them. What's the best way for them to get in touch with you or to contact you?
Well, actually, that's my email address, familyisfamily@yahoo.com, or you can call me at 602-228-2393. And yes, that's me. I'm all over social media. I have so many social media sites, so you can reach me if you ever need prayer or some words of encouragement. As far as resources, the only resource I have is my life. Mm. I make myself available.
And one thing that you emphasized, I can't even remember how many times you had us recite it to the men around us. We need each other. We need you. Mm-hmm. I need you. You encouraged us. And I love the hey, bro, because I start most of my emails. I always say hey. And everyone's like, why do you say hey all the time? Like, hey, Karen. Hey, Marge. Hey, you know, everyone. But your hey, bro, 3 exclamation points. We need each other. Talk a little more about that.
What that means is the Lord gave that to me a long time ago when I was director of a men's ministry during the Promise Keepers era. That was like a rallying cry. Hey, bro, we need each other. We can't do this by ourselves. You know, you husband that's listening, I understand because I've been there, widower twice before I turned 50, a divorcee. I understand, but you can't do it by yourself. I tried. It doesn't work. You, single parent mother, I watched my mother raise 8 children by herself struggling. I can remember missing meals. There were days we didn't have anything to eat because we were poor. I've been there, mama. You're not by yourself. You need someone else. There's some woman in the area that loves the Lord, has a faithful husband, that want to disciple you and love on you. And yes, you young man, I understand, that's 18 to 25 years old. I can remember my mama used to fuss. She used to fuss and complain all the time. And you're tired of listening to that. But she's right. I'm living off my mother's fussing today. It's wisdom now. I'm living off my great-grandmother's nagging me, but it's wisdom now. They're right. They're right, and they mean well. So you're not alone. We need each other. We need somebody in our lives to help us along. Right today, at the age of 64 years old, I'm still seeking out men and women who are married to help me walk this walk with the Lord.
We're in it together. Well, we absolutely do need each other, and I want to encourage all our listeners that if they would like to hear a message from Pastor Donald Mays, they could go to businessmeninchrist.com and replay the message he delivered to our membership at that June 10th meeting.
And that Businessmen in Christ, you have a great saying about what they're really about.
Our purpose is discipleship, outreach, and service to our community. And Donald has shared about people that sometimes disappoint you. Maybe somebody you've done several favors for, but you don't quit on them, do you, Donald?
No, you don't.
You just keep loving them and then keep coming back.
And another thing I love about the Businessmen in Christ, and you also echo this, and I do a lot of shout-outs for WLUJ. I appreciate that, mm-hmm. Doug. But You say it's men in the business of Christ. I love that. It's just not businessmen, though many are, but there's pastors, there's people from all walks of life. But these are men that are in the business of Christ. Maybe just talk a little more about that, and then I want to hear some more from Donald, because he has his beloved Lily Pearl in Arizona waiting for his return.
We call it BMIC for short, and the purpose is simply disciple one another. And when you build fellowship and community, that just gives you a chance to be around God-loving, God-knowing people. Outreach. Isolation is not a good thing. So take the extra effort, be courageous, be bold, and be around other people. Build relationships with them. And then service in our community. That's the reason for Businessmen in Christ. And we're so thankful for being here for 20 years now and the people that we've come to know and love. And this is home.
So earlier you were bragging up. In fact, I think you did a little video of our studio and sent it to Lily Pearl. But you're very much in love with her. God has raised her up to be a great balance, a helpmeet, a co-laborer with you. So brag up your beloved Lily Pearl.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the Lord allowed me to be married three times. I thought it was over. You know? As a matter of fact, one of my pastor friends made a joke, Pastor May, I don't think anyone's going to marry you because your wives keep dying. And it hurt my heart. It really hurt me real bad. I chuckled, but I was offended by that. And so I thought it was done. I was just determined just to live the single life and just live for the Lord. But I'm not the single kind. I'm not a single type guy. I love being married. So when I moved here to Springfield, one of the churches that I was visiting as I was going through the healing process, I saw this young lady, Lily Pearl. She was one of the ministers. I got convicted, Mark, because I thought I was lusting. I did. I thought I was lusting after her because she's beautiful, loves the Lord. So I was afraid. So they were having a potluck, and I asked her to make a spinach lasagna for me. And she said yes. She said yes. And the rest is history. Next thing I know, she and I are at the state fair walking. I'm nervous. Like you mentioned it earlier about being nervous. I was so nervous. And I was afraid someone was going to see me. Here you have this guy from the city slick as a city slicker coming from Chicago to this small town, Springfield, but one of the female leaders in the community. I was nervous. But I knew she was from God. As a matter of fact, I call her, her name is Lily Pearl. I say she's God's girl. So I make sure I take care of her. So I say a shout out to my beautiful. That's what I call her, beautiful. Shout out to beautiful. I love you, Lily Pearl, so much. I thank God for you being in my life. You really balance me out. And you're my favor from the Lord.
And I think you had said you've been married 7 years?
7 years.
And as you and I were talking, how both we've been blessed with godly women, that you said we were just such and such and holding hands through whatever activity we were doing. And I said, good for you, 7 years. And you said it was still like being on a honeymoon,
yes,
that God really has raised up this godly woman that is a gift from him.
Yes, she is very much so.
I know Miss Lily Pearl, and she's a great volunteer. When Donald and she recently lived here before they moved to Arizona, Lily Pearl worked at the Asbury Children's Supper Hour. And it's just like a magnet. Those children were just drawn to her, and she just loved them and hugged them and served them and fed them and took good care of them, and just a great testimony.
In case you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, so you can listen to the program in its entirety or paste it into an email and send it on to a friend. So stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and access the link under the Mark and Friends tab. But in our closing couple minutes, Pastor Mays, what would you say to the unchurched person that maybe doesn't feel like, how could there be a God that loves me in this troubled world? To the senior saint that just needs to be encouraged to fight the good fight and finish well?
Well, what I would like to say, Brother Mark, is that I can remember some phrases that were told me when I wasn't walking with the Lord, such as, you'll never amount to nothing. The older you get, the dumber you get. Can't you do anything right? You're a dummy because you lived in this certain neighborhood. You'll never become successful. I remember those phrases being spoken into my life. But when I made a decision to listen to someone else, such as yourself, who said good things to me, I started believing those things. No, I'm a man of God. No, the Lord loves you. No, he's another chance God. It doesn't matter what you've done. He will give you another opportunity to get it right with him. I started believing the truth about myself. So those that are listening who have not made the decision to give your heart to the Lord, I was there. I lived that life. I almost committed suicide. I had a knife in my hand. I had pills in my hand. And I had turned on the gas in my apartment because I had hit rock bottom. But then that number came up, 1-800-COCAINE. Some of you may remember that. It was advertising to go into a 28-day program and get help, dry out. I called that number. I said, I'll give it another chance. And for 36 years, I've been living for the Lord. Those of you that are seasoned saints, as Brother Mark calls, no matter, you've lived your own life for 50, 60 years, it doesn't matter. You can give your heart to the Lord at this moment. It will be as if though you lived your whole entire life for the Lord, because he's that gracious. He's the God of grace. He's the God of mercy. How do I know? Because I've had the privilege of talking to people who were senior in their lives, gave their heart to the Lord, went off to eternity to be with him. So it really doesn't matter how old you are. It is never too late for you.
And I think when we recognize the character of God, that he's loving, that he demonstrated that love in the Lord Jesus Christ, sending his best, sending Jesus as his representative. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus was all about bringing healing and hope and encouragement. And Jesus loves you, dear friend. He died for you. He wants you to spend an eternity with him in heaven where there's no more pain or suffering. And he will carry your burdens this very day. He loves you.
Brother Mark, allow me to close our time in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you on behalf of that individual that is listening to you. They may be on the cusp, that they're undecided. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would just give them a big hug. Draw them to yourself at this moment. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I'm asking that as you administer your grace and your mercy in their lives, you would give them the strength to receive your grace, to receive your mercy, so they can have another chance to be with you. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, I'm asking as they walk this journey, those who are seasoned in their relationship with you, but they're going through a challenge, I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you will walk alongside of them as they go through this life journey. And just remind them, you'll never leave them nor forsake them. You're always with them. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.